If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our third and final hour live right here on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We welcome you to it all. We also welcome you to Super Bowl week on the Spiz Grizz. The guys out in New Orleans in the Big Easy on Radio Row. We will check in all week long. Interviews, breakdowns, the PFT crew getting you set for Super Bowl 59. We will do so here as well on TEL. But, Joe, yesterday was the first Sunday without an actual NFL game since early September. And in the first 15 minutes of technically Sunday, February 2nd, the NBA said, this is our time to shine. With the blockbuster deal between the Mavericks, Luka Doncic making his way to L.A., and the Lakers sending Anthony Davis and only one first-round selection back to Dallas. Max Christie in the fold as well. It was a moment so monumental in NBA history, potentially the most seismic trade we have seen mid-season ever in the association. So we continue to break it down here to start off this third and final hour. Let's dive right in. A lot of the reaction was shock, stunned, surprise. So now that we've had a little bit to settle in, who won this blockbuster trade? You tell us and fade the public. You had to imagine, Joe, that this poll was going to be a little bit skewed in terms of the Lakers. And boy, was it. More than 86.5% of the votes right now saying the Lakers won the blockbuster deal between L.A. and Dallas, short of 14% backing Nico Harrison's move and the Mavs. Joe, is there any chance that you are fading the public in this blockbuster deal?
Well, I mean, not for nothing. I would have liked to have seen the Utah Jazz on that question there as a choice, Ben, because don't sleep on those two second-round picks they got there, all right, with Jalen Hood-Shavino. I'm just saying, all right, there should be some consensus there. But listen, maybe the best part, Ben, if we can talk about it at some point here over during the week, is that I think the Lakers win it, but not because just because they got Doncic for the future. And I do believe where there is smoke, there is fire here. But maybe the best thing to come out of L.A. for this was the fact that LeBron knew nothing about it. And the fact that anybody who thinks LeBron runs the Lakers and it's LeBron's team, he was just as miffed by all of this. So maybe the power structure in L.A. is not exactly what we thought it was. So kudos to Lakers for getting a franchise player for the next, two decades. But it ain't LeBron's move, and it ain't LeBron's team anymore.
LeBron did not know this was happening. He loves Luka Doncic and has long expressed a desire to play with Doncic. We were not exactly sure how realistic that whole approach was going to be. Now it is. But LeBron also loves Anthony Davis. And it was integral for LeBron in his time with the Lakers to acquire AD. Of course, they won a championship together in trying times. in that NBA bubble. They will always be fond of one another and that relationship they have built. LeBron James finding out, like most of us, not from the Sean Charania tweet, but late on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, in a call from Rob Pelinka, the GM in LA, who was probably stunned when Nico Harrison, the Mavericks general manager, called him for the first time and said, "Hey, we want to make a deal." And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "We're going to want Anthony Davis." And Rob's like, "Yeah, but we'll give you Luka Doncic." And Rob Pelinka was like, "Okay, yeah, I am fully in." And Joe, I think it's that context that is incredibly necessary in why the public in a landslide is saying the Lakers won this deal. Luka Doncic, in my estimation, is a top three player in the NBA. And it's not just my estimation. You could look at the historic marks throughout his career, now 7 years in the NBA. When Rookie of the Year, his first year in Dallas, 2018, 2019. In the 5 years since that have been completed, Luka Doncic has finished in the top eight of MVP voting each and every season. He has been an all-NBA first-team selection each and every season since 2019-2020. 28.6 points per game in terms of his career average, third best in NBA history, behind only Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan. Ah, but has he done anything in playoff past? Yeah, he basically single-handedly led the Dallas Mavericks to the NBA Finals this past season. Yeah, they came up short against the Boston Celtics. And the NBA Finals performance was maybe not all that illustrious for Luka Doncic. But he averages 30.9 points per game in his postseason career. That is the second highest scoring average in NBA playoff history by a single individual, only behind Michael Jordan. And Nico Harrison said to himself, "Well, the guy's a little bit overweight and lacks conditioning in the way that we would like it. So at 25 years old, I am trading him away." It will go down as one of the most stunning moves we have ever seen. It is the first time in NBA history that two all-NBA performers one season, the following season, were traded for one another in the middle of that year. Luka Doncic, all-NBA first team. AD, all-NBA second team. A season ago. There is no doubt the Lakers won this trade. And to me, Joe, it's not just a future thing, setting up the franchise beyond LeBron James to have that next superstar in Los Angeles in Luka Doncic for a decade plus. That is your hope and your desire. And I think the realistic way this all plays out, I think the Lakers won this trade right here, right now. I think the Lakers are a far better team than Dallas. If I had to bet on one of these two teams to win the Western Conference or an NBA championship, it would be the Lakers. That's reflected in the odds. Mm-hmm. Much shorter prices and much better market movement for LA after the Doncic deal than anything associated with the Mavericks.
This never happens, but I don't know, Ben. Maybe this is the future of the NBA, where I don't care how big your star is, how bright it is, nobody is safe given the new CBA, right? Given all the new salary cap issues and the taxes and the different tiers. And it's, you know, spending $400-500 million on a play. Maybe those days are gone, Ben, where, you know, you enjoy them while you can, because they could very well, even somebody like Luka could be wearing a different jersey by the time he hits his prime. It's kind of crazy to think, but maybe that's the future here.
That was one of the reactions from NBA superstars around the league, that if Luka Doncic can be traded, anybody can be traded. And we can talk about the return and what the Mavericks did and did not get back. Only one first-round pick, but they did get Anthony Davis and the promising young prospect of Max Christie. It's still absolutely insane. And again, from the odds perspective, the Mavericks price nearly doubled to win the West. 10-1 before the weekend, now 19-1. Add on $11 to their NBA championship price that we saw before this Doncic deal and where things stand right now. The Mavericks are going to make the playoffs more than likely. The Mavericks might even win a postseason series. That will not be enough to heal the wound that Mavericks fans feel right now, shipping away the face of their franchise for the last half decade in what they were hoping would be a decade and a half still to come. The Lakers' price to win the West before the weekend, 25-1. And the Lakers, by the way, 28-19 right now. In a better spot than even the Mavericks. Now plus 850, nearly slashing that price by a third, or more than that, down nearly by a couple of thirds. And their championship price slashed by more than half, 40-1 before the weekend, now 19-1. Joe, I know you've expressed some concern. How does it look schematically in terms of how the game plan is going to be with LeBron James and Luka Doncic on the floor at the same time? I think it's going to be successful. I bet the Lakers yesterday afternoon at a 9-1 price to win the Western Conference. I think they are going to make a run at it. The Pro Football Doc joins us for Super Bowl week next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We hope to have the Pro Football Doc with us in just a matter of moments to get you set for Super Bowl week in Super Bowl 59. Practice reports from the teams as they got ready in their own home destinations this past week, and now they've made the trip out to New Orleans. Of course, Joe, a lot of focus will be on Philadelphia. KC relatively healthy, at least the guys that have been there for the last month, month and a half, 2 months or so. Of course, the Eagles quarterback in Jalen Hurts. How healthy is he going to be? What is the status of that left knee that he injured in the divisional round against the Rams? The offensive line concerns, Cam Jurgens, the center, dealing with the back issues leading up to the NFC Championship, and Landon Dickerson, the outstanding all-pro guard who had to fill in and start at the center spot for that NFC title game against the Commanders, who injured his knee in the opening half. That, Joe, seems to be the main concern in terms of the most significant players entering Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure the doc will tell us. I mean, at this point in the season, Ben, there ain't nobody 100% anyway. So it really is a matter of just, okay, you know, what's this ceiling here? And one of the things I'm interested in is, how many of these guys are legit? What's the reality of them playing a full game? How bad are these injuries? And they are easily re-aggravated. And that's a concern as well, especially with the guys in the trenches.
Enough of our speculation. It's time for Pro Football Doc Dr. David Chow to join us here to get you ready for Super Bowl 59. Dr. Chow, as always, thank you for joining us on the first day of what is now officially Super Bowl week.
Yeah, I'm about to get on a plane and head to New Orleans.
Love it. Safe travels to you. We look forward to hearing your work from the Big Easy. And, Doc, one of the great things about what you and your team do is Sports Injury Central, and what you can see at SICScore.com, that's SICScore.com, is the individual six score for each and every player. You hear it normally in sports media coverage. Well, he's a little bit banged up. We hope he's 85, 90%. You give that six score out of 100. And as we get ready for Super Bowl 59, what is the six score currently for the Eagles quarterback and Jalen Hurts?
Well, Jalen Hurts obviously played pretty well, but his six score is still nowhere in the 90s. I think he's in the high 80s at this point in time, 87 in terms of his ability to run. Throw is not an issue. It's the left knee. And, you know, he ran the ball a bunch of times in the conference championship, but he certainly was not 100%. And his cutting motions, et cetera, are still in question.
Well, Doc, what about the guys blocking for him and protecting him there? Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, which the back thing seemed to come out of nowhere. What do we do with the offensive linemen? How healthy are they right now?
Well, that's one of the bigger issues for the Super Bowl. Typically, by the time we get to the Super Bowl, Sports Injury Central has been pretty hot in predicting the winning teams against the spread, and we factor in injuries. So if the more injured teams are losing on the way through the playoffs and into the Super Bowl, obviously you end up with healthier teams. A little bit of an anomaly this year with the Eagles, and you're pointing out the offensive line here. Cam Jurgens back. He did play in the second half and played well. He's got 2 weeks. There's certainly some great healing powers of the Super Bowl, especially with the extra week. Everyone wants to play, but you're right. How effective is the question? But the bigger worry is Landon Dickerson. We studied all the film from the conference championship game, including the All-22 tape, and it looks like he struggles with his knee, left knee, from the get, and it gets worse later in the first quarter and into the second, puts a brace on, and then exits the game. He's the biggest concern for the Eagles right now for their offensive line, and obviously that would mean Tyler Skene would have to play, and it would force Cam Jurgens into action, even though he might not be 100% on his back.
Ideally for the Eagles, Jurgens gets the start at the center spot and Landon Dickerson shifts back to where he always is in that guard position. Let's talk about one of the leaders of this Eagles franchise, Dr. Chow, who has been with the Birds the entirety of his career, now going on a decade and a half, Brandon Graham, who last played at the end of November, torn triceps. We thought he was probably out for the remainder of this season. As you told us last week, more than likely they were going to open up his practice window. No harm in doing so. He still remains on injured reserve. An emotional leader. Great to have him out there to get the Philadelphia Eagles ready for Super Bowl 59. But Dr. Chow, is there a realistic chance that Brandon Graham plays come Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, I'm quite sure he'll be there on the sidelines, but playing seems to be a stretch. I think the only way that he plays is if they really have the extra roster room and he's a part-time usage. Look, with the triceps, you know, he's functional in everyday life, but can you really hold a 320-pound lineman or two off of you? You know, can you do that forceful of a push-up with someone on your back with the triceps? And that's what he needs to do to hold off blocks. And he's got a high rate of rupture. I get he won't care about that because if he needs surgery again, who cares? This is likely his final game. It's the Super Bowl. But it just seems unlikely that he could be effective given what he needs to do.
And what about Saquon's, you know, second in command there in Kenneth Gainwell? Will he be available and how effective?
Well, besides second in command, Saquon with the calf issue, everyone's seen him with the Theragun, et cetera. He's obviously going to play through, and we hope it was just the score of the game where his utilization dipped in the second half. But Gainwell's got a concussion. 95% of people with concussions clear by 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks before the big game, and I don't have a doubt that he will clear because also, and I'm not saying he would do this and jeopardize his own health, but a lot of testing for concussions is fairly subjective. Nobody wants to miss the Super Bowl, so I would have to think he will be available.
Yes, we would think that he is really only injury designation for the Chiefs. Sky Moore, who is doubtful, he last played in mid-October. Dr. Chow, we appreciate the time on this Monday. Safe travels to New Orleans and have a great week there on Radio Row, getting ready for the big game this upcoming Sunday. We appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk some college basketball on the other side of the break, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week right here on the Early Line and a lot of college basketball action to get you caught up on from the weekend that was. And of course, a marquee matchup in the Big 12 tonight in the fog between Kansas and Iowa State, two teams that suffered woeful defeats on Saturday afternoon. Let's start with some of the big headlines from the weekend that was in college basketball. Joe, we know it was a weekend of rivalries and return, including John Calipari's return to Lexington for the first time after 15 years leading Big Blue Nation, but now as the caller of the Hogs, as Arkansas's head coach. Cal's return to Rupp was left with a winning mark, a double-digit win, outright nearly as a double-digit dog. Arkansas closed as an 9.5-point dog inside Rupp Arena and picked up a huge 89-72 victory. Just the second SEC win for the Razorbacks this year. They're 2-6 in conference, and it was a huge one for John Calipari in his return against the Cats. three former Kentucky players who followed Cal from Lexington to Fayetteville had a huge night, combining for 52 points in that starting lineup. And Arkansas gets a monumental win, not only for their skipper, Joe, but maybe for the rest of their SEC slate.
I mean, it could not have come at a better time. And, you know, you mentioned former Kentucky players that followed him to Arkansas. That Rupp Arena was not too big for them. They were not intimidated in any way, shape, or form. And quite honestly, the reason they won this game is you're talking about an Arkansas team, Ben, that entered that game as one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the SEC. They literally couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. They hit 13 threes against Kentucky out of 25 attempts in that game. That is why they ended up running away with this game. Yeah, I mean, they weren't going to shoot that terrible. Too many quality players on Arkansas for them not to make threes at some point. Maybe this turns it around for them.
All five starters for Coach Cal in double figures, led by former Kentucky Wildcat Adu Thiero. He had 21 points. Ivicic had 14, and Wagner 18 points, or 17 points rather, in that starting five. Not a great result for Kentucky, who won on the road as a double-digit dog against Tennessee earlier in the week. Speaking of those Vols, how would they look to bounce back in a top 10 tilt against Florida? And not just from a week that had started off with a loss at home, but also from getting beat by Florida in Gainesville earlier in January by 30. Well, they returned the favor, a 20-point win over the Gators, despite the fact that their point guard, Zakai Ziegler, did not play in the game. Tennessee had lost three of their last four entering the matchup. Big victory at home, covering as a 2.5-point favorite in Knoxville against UF.
Yeah, I mean, this is back on January 7th. It was 73-43 in Gainesville. Tennessee got embarrassed, and they returned that favor here. But it was really all about the defense of Tennessee. Not only were they shorthanded, but that's the most inspired I've seen this team play in a while. And Florida had no answers. They were slowed down. 13 of 53 from the floor, 4 of 27 from 3. You're not going to win many games, Florida, with those kinds of shooting numbers, but credit Tennessee's defense for getting it done.
Joe, we talked about that game on Friday. The odds were not out yet, but Kenneth Pomeroy predicted a Tennessee three-point win, 71-68. Total opened up at 142.5 late on Friday. I bet it right then and right there, because if the Vols were going to show that resilience, it would be led by a defense that is now listed as the most efficient in college basketball. That was Houston's distinction during the weekend. The Cougs get beat for the first time in Big 12 play after a 9-0 start in the conference, in winners of 13 in a row before Saturday at home against Texas Tech. The Red Raiders win in OT outright as a 9.5-point underdog, well over a total of 127.5. And Joe, this featured a wild flurry early where JT Topper, Texas Tech's leading scorer, was whistled for a flagrant two as he tried to pass the ball out of a trap, and his leg kind of went up and kicked somebody in the you-know-where, but it did not seem flagrant or intentional. He was ejected from the game in the opening minutes. Grant McCaslin, the head coach of the Red Raiders, lost his mind because of it. He was ejected in the opening minutes of the opening half, and still Texas Tech hands Houston its first conference loss. What a win for the Red Raiders. Keep an eye on what Grant McCaslin and this Texas Tech team has in Lubbock. More college basketball later. Proper fact next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The prop perspective with the jack of all trades. How we start each and every week live on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. That is TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid here to get you set with all the changes we are seeing around the NBA past the midway point of this season in front of a 10-game slate in the association on this Monday night. And of course, Tom, how we all kind of change our evaluations now for the Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks. Thanks so much for being here bright and early on this Monday.
Of course, as usual, thanks for having me. There's a ton to get to across, not just the NBA tonight for tonight's games, but obviously the landscape of the teams moving forward, what we're going to see from them. We can touch on the Super Bowl a little bit. Let's get to it.
And we will touch on the Super Bowl. Vecchio has already been here twice in the week before Super Bowl week to look at the prop markets. We'll get his thoughts on where he sees things right now, officially on the Monday of Super Bowl week, ahead of the biggest Sunday of each and every NFL season, 6 days away. But the first Sunday without an actual NFL football game, Vecchio, for the first time since early September, was yesterday. And in the first 12 minutes of Sunday, a blockbuster trade that left everybody stunned and shocked. Luka Doncic traded by the Mavericks to the Lakers. In return, the Mavs get back Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a first-round selection. And as Joe has highlighted, do not forget the Utah Jazz. Jalen Hood-Schifino makes his way to Salt Lake in those two second-round selections. Vecchio, I think it's fair to say everybody was shocked by this news. Wherever you might have been early in the Sunday morning hours, or perhaps when everybody woke up on Sunday morning. But now that we've had a little bit more than 24 hours to settle and react, have you been able to wrap your mind around why this deal was done?
Oh, so I was on In-Game Live last night with Joe Madden and Scott Wenzel, and we were talking about this just kind of briefly about the same sorts of things. And I think this is a play for the Lakers moving forward over the next set of years, 5-10 years. LeBron's going to retire 2-3 years, whatever it might be. They can build around Luka. And, you know, maybe the Mavericks got some indication from Luka that he wasn't going to re-sign in 2 or 3 years whenever he's up. And he's up for a supermax at that point. So that is a massive, massive investment in the team. And obviously, with the ownership changing, whatever they want to do. Like, there's parts of this that we don't know, and we may never know. So good for the Lakers. They have this player that they can build around for the next decade. Ultimately, you know, we're not trying to like bring this down. It's like, what can we actually get from this? Obviously, I expect LeBron to take, like, let's say half a step back. And as I said last night to Joe and Scott, like, I'm interested in LeBron assist props moving forward. How does the offense get to, like, meld together once Luka's back and fully involved? Does LeBron look to play more of a facilitator role rather than a pure scorer role? And then we can get some value from the assist market rather than his points.
So where do we look? Anthony Davis, once he gets back to Dallas, obviously, I guess they think defense wins championships. He doesn't have to be a center, which is good news. But whose team offensively is it moving forward here, Tom, at this point, the Dallas Mavericks?
It's going to be, I don't know, Kyrie and AD and like a 1A, 1B, who's ever got the hot hand. And I think that can make it very difficult to, you know, decide like, oh, who has the best prop tonight? Who we're going to be trusting? Because there are going to be games where AD goes like 30 and 15 and Kyrie may have 20 and 12, like where he flies over his assist prop, but he falls well short of his points just because someone else has the hot hand. And maybe the spacing opens up time for Klay Thompson to get more involved, who's had a bit of an up and down year. So like, it's actually going to be very difficult, I think, from the Mavs perspective. Once we have like a decent enough sample size, I think that's what we'll get. But like right from the jump, you could either be very right or very wrong, but that does open up the opportunity for value for some of their secondary or, you know, tertiary role players. Maybe Gafford steps up in terms of rebound. He's not doing as much scoring, et cetera, et cetera.
The Mavericks have moved back in terms of their price to win the Western Conference, nearly doubling that number, 10-1 now, 19-1. The Lakers price to win the West, 25-1 entering this weekend, now plus 850, third best number behind OKC and Denver. Tom, this was a blockbuster trade that nobody saw coming. Another blockbuster deal last night that perhaps was more expected. De'Aaron Fox traded to San Antonio. Zach LaVine, a part of a three-team deal that included Chicago, makes his way to California's capital. The Bulls get a crop of players and a first-round pick. But it does bear repeating because this is NBA trade deadline week, as well as Super Bowl week. Trade deadline is Thursday afternoon around the association. So note these numbers to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy right now. The Celtics, the reigning champs, and the title favorites all year, still in that position, but OKC making up ground quick. The Lakers were 40-1 entering the weekend, now 19-1. So, Vecchio, of course, we put a pin in where these odds are at the moment, but we also ask you a question. Where do you think the best value is right now in terms of the NBA championship odds board?
It's a team, and it's not on that list. And let's turn to the Houston Rockets at 41. And I'm not saying I think the Rockets are the best team in the league, because they aren't. But, Ben, we can look back a couple years when you had a Sacramento Kings ticket, if you remember that. And the Rockets are in third right now in the West, right? And whether they end up third, second, fourth, wherever it might be, they're in a spot to host a first-round game. And at 40-1 to win the NBA championship, and at 17-1, which is six on the board to win the West, this is a spot where you can get them at an awesome price, and then they will host that first-round matchup. They can win that first-round matchup, and then you're working with a lot of leg room in terms of, do you want to cash out, hedge in that second round? So I don't think the Rockets are the best team. I want to make that clear. I think Oklahoma City, Denver are much better than them, obviously, the Celtics on the other side, and the Cavs. But we will have a ticket that is awesome to have, because some of these teams are essentially going to cannibalize each other. The Grizzlies, the Clippers, and the Lakers are all not going to make it into the second round. And having the Rockets as a home court team in the first round will be the spot to have.
All right. So let's talk about some of these games here tonight, some of the props that you might be looking at here. Give us one, because I see that you're going with my favorite guy, a former Oklahoma State player there who should be MVP. But I said it out loud. There you go. What are you thinking, Ty, Tom?
We have a ton of games to get to tonight. So let's turn to Cade Cunningham, and his points prop is sitting at 27.5, and it's sitting at -106. If we look at the entire points props for all the players in this game, Cade Cunningham is the highest. Instead of betting on his points prop, which you can certainly do at 27.5, obviously, like I said, he's been awesome this year. He's piling up the shots. He have a all-star nod for him this year. Let's turn to him to be the highest point scorer, which is sitting at +105, which is essentially what his points prop at 27.5 indicates, is that he has the highest points prop. And if he's going to hit the over on that, there's like a scenario where he's obviously the highest point scorer. So let's shoot for a little bit of plus money. It's not like some massive number. It's only +105. I understand that. But that's what the points prop is indicating. Now, you could play both. You could play like a normal unit on the 27.5, a little bit, maybe a half unit, a quarter unit on the +105. There are ways to get value when we're essentially getting the same outcome from Cade Cunningham. Now, there is also a scenario where he's the highest point scorer and he still hits the under on his points prop. I don't see that happening versus Atlanta. I think Cade Cunningham's going to drop 30, 35 points tonight, but I want to shoot for that plus money.
And Vecchio, you mentioned the Houston Rockets, third best record now in the Western Conference, slightly behind Memphis from that perspective. They suffered a weird defeat the other day in Brooklyn, but now they head to Madison Square Garden tonight to take on the team with the third best record out East. That would be the Knicks. I will be there. My first ever Knicks game attended inside MSG. So, Vecchio, I'm going to need to play for this game. What is it?
Yeah, let's turn to Karl-Anthony Towns, and it's got to be under 13.5 rebounds. It's got a little bit of juice at -136. A lot of people are saying he's mean for a bounce-back spot after a dud of a game the other night versus the Lakers, but this number is just too high. And looking back at this game, like, yeah, we see these games with 15, 16, 20 rebounds earlier in January, but it's just a bit too much. He's consistently getting into foul trouble, and the Rockets are a really solid rebounding team. So, yeah, he can have a bounce-back game going for 30 and 10, but him having 30 and 15 is just a little bit too much for me. And then also turning to Keegan Murray, over 12.5 points. I think there's obviously some opportunity in the Kings with Fox leaving. Who's going to step up and take that role? And we know that Murray has been a very solid shooter, especially from deep. When he started his career, a little bit lower this year, but I do expect him to play a bigger role on offense moving forward.
The jack of all trades, believe me, we'll have Super Bowl props later in the week for everybody to hammer down into. Tom Vecchio, thank you. More around the association next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you back to the Early Line, a 10-game slate around the association on this Monday following a very dramatic and seismic-shifting weekend in the association. Luka Doncic is now a Los Angeles Laker. Anthony Davis makes his way to Dallas. De'Aaron Fox now with the Spurs. Zach LaVine in California's capital with the Kings. The Jazz got involved, as did the Chicago Bulls. But let's get to all the games we have tonight. On a Monday, as I just shared with Tom Vecchio, I've been to Madison Square Garden, Joe. not all that far away from us here in Midtown Manhattan many times in my life. Big East tournaments, Rangers games, concerts, other college basketball affairs. I have never actually been to a Knicks game. That changes tonight. The New York Knicks, third best team in the Eastern Conference. The Houston Rockets, as of this moment, after a weird home loss as a 12.5-point favorite over the weekend against the Nets, third best record in the Western Conference. And it's going to be a great matchup tonight in MSG. Joe, how do you see this game playing out? Note, again, I will be in attendance.
Yeah, and it really, it's all about who's playing in this game, Ben. We are keeping an eye on Anunoby, who left that game early, unfortunately, there, which is not good. We know Josh Hart, also still questionable because of his right knee soreness. So we got to keep an eye on who's playing for them. And Houston, yeah, well, Houston, Albert Sengun has been missing the last couple of games and hasn't gone well for them. Van Fleet also still questionable. I would imagine Madison Square Garden has a pretty good healing power, Ben, in prime time where sometimes these guys miraculously rub some dirt on it and get back in there. I think the total is correlated to who you think is going to win this game tonight, Ben. If you like Houston, I'm back in the under. You like the New York Knicks, we're probably going to get a bit of a shootout here tonight.
Which is really interesting, Joe. And the line has worked up to 6.5 in favor of the Knickerbockers, by the way. You would think Tom Thibodeau, his teams, grind it out on the defensive side of the floor. The Knicks last week had two consecutive games scoring at least 140 points. And the totals for New York as of late have been a lot closer to 240 than 220, where we see that number tonight, 223.5. Really good matchups up and down the docket, including a team in Sacramento that looks a little bit different now. The Kings make a road trip to the Twin Cities to take on the Timberwolves. Not sure we're going to see Zach LaVine make his debut tonight. If we get confirmation that happens, we will let you know. Minnesota, who lost to Dallas in last year's Western Conference Finals, probably looking around like, oh boy, Western Conference looks a little bit different on this Monday morning approaching trade deadline week. Let's make a run. T-Wolves 4.5-point home favorite, Joe.
Yeah, and this is the final game of a six-game road trip here for Sacramento, who's going to look a little bit different now with the trade of Fox here. Both of these teams are looking to finish, certainly the Kings are looking to finish this on a high note this trip. They've lost, what, four of the first five games on the trip? It has not been a good run for them at all. Mm-hmm. We did see Minnesota finally turn a corner, certainly offensively as of late, but they, too, coming off a loss here. So, yeah, to me, the edge is with Minnesota in this one here. Never liked these teams on that last leg of a long road trip, and now all of a sudden one of your players and leaders is no longer there. Tough spot for Sacramento.
Precarious season for Sacramento. They fired Mike Brown, got off to a hot start with Doug Christie, but then De'Aaron Fox, a staple of the franchise the last eight seasons, is now no longer there. Going to San Antonio to play with Victor Wembanyama. We'll see what spark Zach LaVine provides when he makes his Kings debut. The T-Wolves have been booked as a favorite often, 38 of 49 games this year, 27-22 overall, just 22-16 outright as a favorite. That's not all that great. 13-25 against the spread. They lay 4.5 tonight. We are calling it a finals preview question mark, but is it really? Oklahoma City, 11.5-point favorite at home tonight, that being the Thunder, hosting the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks on a three-game slide. OKC, the best team in the Western Conference. 232.5 is that total listed right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. What's the play tonight, Joe, in OKC?
I don't know. I mean, as long as they're not playing Memphis, I guess maybe the Bucks are live getting points here, but they can't seem to beat the Memphis team at all, as they lost again. I think they've lost now the last eight times that they've played them. Second of a back-to-back, tough spot here for Milwaukee. And quite honestly, they're starting to look a little old and slower, Ben, watching them. We saw what Memphis did to him in the second half yesterday, and it just looked like they left him in the dust. OKC more than capable of doing exactly the same thing here. Plus, who's playing, who's not playing on the second of a back-to-back from Milwaukee right now?
Four-game road trip for Milwaukee. Returned home last night to take on Memphis. As a home favorite, they got beat by the Grizz and gave up a ton of points. In fact, Joe, this week has been awful for the Bucks on this three-game slide. Dame's second return to Portland, they get beat by the Blazers as a double-digit favorite. They get beat by the Spurs in Wemby in a big way on Friday night, and of course losing to the Grizzlies last night. Change of venue, second leg of a back-to-back, and you're going up against the Western Conference's best team in OKC, 27-16-3 against the spread this year as a favorite. And maybe some revenge for the Thunder, I should say, in a rematch of the NBA Cup title game. Elsewhere, Joe, in the association, again, plenty of action. Let's head to San Francisco, one of our final games of the night. The Warriors and the Magic, 3-point favorite for Golden State, 212 and a hook is the total. What's the play out by the bay?
Yeah, well, you're thinking it's the Magic, and it probably should be looking at an under here, and that's the way I'm going to look here, simply because, listen, the Warriors, they need a win. And the Magic feel like they've been on the road forever, so I don't trust them offensively. I think it's a dead under here tonight in this one.
Right now, the Orlando Magic, in their last nine games, have only scored more than 100 twice. They've gone under, of course, in five of the last seven as well. More Hoops Handicap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, rounding out our first day of Super Bowl week. It is a Monday on TEL. He is Germanary. I am Ben Stevens. We are going to be here with you all week long, Monday through Friday, to get you ready for Super Bowl 59. You heard from Kevin Walsh earlier in our second hour. He and the rest of the PFT crew and some others for Sports Grid there in the Big Easy on Radio Row. They'll be doing interviews. They'll be breaking down the Super Bowl matchup between the Birds and the Chiefs. We will touch in and touch base with them all week long. Plenty of clips and coverage from New Orleans here on the Early Line as well. But it's a great time in college basketball and in the NBA. 10-game slate. We just ran through a couple of the biggest matchups. In college hoops tonight, Joe, you want to talk about bounce-back spots. Both teams that will face off tonight in Lawrence, Kansas, desperately need that. Iowa State was a 14.5-point home favorite inside Hilton Coliseum, a place known for magic on Saturday against K-State, a team that is wildly disappointing this year. They got beat 80-61. But keep an eye on the Wildcats. They've won three straight. They've covered in six in a row. Just something to pay attention to. Kansas held a 21-point lead late in the opening half in Waco against Baylor. They closed as a slight road dog, but felt like maybe that line wasn't necessarily justified. The Jayhawks blew that lead. They got doubled up in the second half. Baylor scored 60 points. KU only scored 30. They blew their largest lead in program history. And believe you me, they've been playing basketball for a long time in Lawrence. So, Joe, both of these teams hoping to respond tonight inside the fog in Allen Fieldhouse. KU, a 2.5-point favorite. That total on the rise, now standing at 146 and a hook.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable we're at this point in the season with these two teams. I mean, first of all, we've already seen Kansas lose not one, but two games at Fog Allen this year. They haven't lost three games at home, Ben, since 2000. In fact, they got blown out the first time these two teams played at Iowa State. Now it's a revenge spot for Kansas, but they got to be talking to themselves here at this particular point, wondering where did it all go wrong. So are we to believe that, number one, Iowa State is going to sweep Kansas in the season series, which they haven't done since 2016. Are we expected to believe that Kansas is going to lose a third home game at Fog Allen since 2000? I'll tell you this. It's become quite obvious with Iowa State. If they're not hitting threes, they ain't winning. And they're not built defensively like they've been in a couple of years past. Great, very well coached. But when you go what, Ben? What, they go 5 of 26 over the last two outings? That's why they lost both games. I would expect the Jayhawks to bring it in this game at home at Fog Allen. To me, I think this is a dead under, by the way. I think defense is going to be the name of the game tonight.
The thriller in Tucson last week, Caleb Love from 65 feet away, forcing overtime. Iowa State loses outright. But in their prior two games as a dog, perfect 2-0 against the spread. The Cyclones have dropped two in a row. Kansas, Joe, 6-4 in the Big 12. When they lost eight Big 12 games last year, that was their most since the late 80s when they last missed the NCAA tournament. All right, final minute and a half of this show. It's time now for a best bet for your Monday night to build up the bankroll for Super Bowl Sunday. It is time now for Bye Bye Bye. Gerinary, my friend, best bet for this Monday evening is where and what game?
Yeah, so I'm going to go to college basketball, Ben. I'm going to take a look at, and it's a big number, and I don't care, but I think Virginia's in trouble on the road tonight against Pitt here. I think Pitt, who is clearly on the bubble, and in an ACC that's not great this year. I mean, North Carolina's got 10 losses. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Florida State's terrible. Notre Dame's terrible. Miami's terrible. Virginia's even worse. And Louisville's already lost two starters to injury for the season. So I think that Pitt has a pretty good opportunity to take out some frustration tonight. I'll lay it with them at home against Virginia.
Big number, 13.5, but I agree, Joe. Two teams in college basketball are covering in 80% of their games or more this year. San Jose State and Houston Christian from the Southland. +7.5 for Houston Christian tonight against Nichols. That does it for a Monday. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time on the Bridge.